From the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, this is an English language and American culture online presentation. My name is Nigel Kaplan. I'm an English as a second language specialist here at the Writing Center. This presentation is about vocabulary learning strategies, and it's suitable for all non-native speakers of English. At the end of the presentation, please take a minute to complete an online evaluation that will help us design more services in the future. Let me first explain your screen. To skip this, click on the next slide in the outline. In the middle, you can see my PowerPoint slides. I recommend that you click the Zoom button in the top right corner to make the text bigger, so go ahead and click Zoom now. Under the video on the left, you can see a pause button. You can use this to stop the presentation and use the same button to start it again. You can also change the volume and move around the presentation from the control bar. Under that, you'll see an outline of the presentation. If you click on the name of a slide on the title, you'll move directly there. So, how many words do you think there are in the English language? Just make a guess. Think of a number. And how many of those words do you think you know? Again, make a guess. Think of a number. Got a number? Okay, well, here's the correct answer. The correct answer is there are about 500,000 words in English, about 500,000 words. One major American dictionary contains 113,000 word families. A word family is a group of related words. So, for example, educate, education, educational, educator, that's one word family with four words in it, okay? Now, of course, most native speakers of English don't know all 500,000 words. We believe that a college-educated adult in the US has a vocabulary of about 20,000 word families. That's as much as 100,000 words. Although most people recognize more words than they actually use. They don't use 100,000 words. For a learner of English, the absolute minimum you need is going to be about 3,000 to 5,000 families for understanding English, about 2,000 to 3,000 for speaking or writing. However, if you're a graduate student or a postdoc, you're going to need much more vocabulary than those 20,000 words, say. So you can't possibly learn the dictionary, you can't learn all 500,000 words, and you probably know fewer words than your native speaking peers. But don't despair, don't give up, because language learning is really about learning vocabulary. Learning vocabulary is the most important thing you can do to improve all your English skills. Our research has shown that you need to know at least 95% of the words in a text in order to read it fluently. What that means is if you're reading a textbook or an article and you don't know more than one word in every two lines, you might not be able to understand the content. That's a pretty high standard. Something true is probably similar in listening. And in writing, having a large vocabulary is just essential for expressing yourself and, just as importantly, for paraphrasing and avoiding plagiarism. And of course, studying vocabulary will almost certainly help your TOEFL score, if that's your goal. So, this presentation is going to look at three types of strategies you can use to increase your vocabulary without just learning the dictionary. Through reading, through researching new words, and then finally, by learning them. First, let's look at some strategies you can use while you're reading. The most important one, I think, is to prioritize. Only learn words that are useful for you. And that list is going to be different for different learners. What that means, in effect, is learning three groups of words. The most common 2,000 or so words of English. You probably know most of those by now. In addition, some words are quite frequent in academic language, but less common in other forms of English. For example, there's a list of 560 word families called the Academic Word List, developed by a researcher called Avril Coxhead. The Academic Word List would be a great list of words for you to target, and I have a link to that list on my blog, and the address for that is on the bottom of your screen. Finally, learn the words that are important in your field of study. Okay, so try to focus on the words that you need to learn. The second strategy is to pay attention to vocabulary in your reading and lectures, and that's how you learn the important words for your field. Usually we read for content. Yeah, you're reading for meaning. You want to understand the article or textbook. But it really helps if you can reread an article or a chapter and just look for the important words, the important vocabulary items you need to learn. Don't read for content, read for vocabulary. The last reading strategy I want to tell you about is probably the most difficult, and that is guessing from context. You can very easily make an incorrect guess, and if you don't know more than one or two words on the line, you really can't guess very well from context. However, you can target the words, and once you've found the word to learn, then you need to do some research. You need to look it up. Your best friend is your dictionary. And I really recommend an English to English learner's dictionary. Not a college dictionary, but one for learners of English. There are some excellent new dictionaries for intermediate level and for advanced level learners. Again, I've put some recommendations on the blog. The reason I like learner's dictionaries, a good learner's dictionary has more information than a translating dictionary, a bilingual English to your language dictionary, and more even than a dictionary for native speakers. Take a look at the example on the screen. This is the entry for research from the Cambridge Advanced Learner's Dictionary. Have a look at all the information that is in this entry. You have the meaning, of course, but you also have the part of speech, the grammar. You can see that research is an uncountable noun, and it can be a transitive or intransitive verb. You've also got collocations, words that go together. So, scientific research, to carry out research. These are common phrases. Prepositions, we research into something. Good way to learn prepositions. And you've got the whole word family here, researcher, as the noun for the person. And because the noun is listed before the verb, you know that research is more commonly used as a noun and less often as a verb. So you can really get some great information from a learner's dictionary. Now here's another tool you may not have thought of, and that's a good thesaurus. You all know what a thesaurus is, I'm sure. It's a book that has synonyms. But this is a learner's thesaurus, the Oxford Learner's Thesaurus, which is a new book. It comes with a CD-ROM. You're looking at the CD-ROM. This is the book here. This is the entry for research. You can see that it has the pronunciation, and on the CD-ROM you can listen to the word with both a British accent, like mine, or an American accent. So you can hear that I would say research, Americans would say research, which I'm trying to say for you. You've also here got synonyms, words with similar meanings, listed in the order of frequency. You've got definitions for every synonym, example sentences for each one, collocations, again, the words and prepositions that go with it, the grammar, and notes on using the word and its synonyms. So this is a great way to improve your writing and your speaking in English. Just to point something out, you can see here that research is very common as a noun. It's the most common of the synonyms, but as a verb, the verb investigate is actually more common. So there you learned some vocabulary today. Let's carry on with some more strategies. Learn words in families. It's much more efficient. So as we saw with research, try to learn words like researcher as well. Next, learn as much as you can about new words. As you saw in the dictionary and thesaurus, you need to know a lot about a word, the grammar, the usage, collocations, if you're going to use it correctly in writing and speaking. Number four, don't learn words individually. Many times words come as fixed chunks or phrases. It's a bit like idioms, except that you can understand the words, but if you don't use the words together correctly, people may not understand you well. For example, the phrase, to carry out research. Try to learn that as a fixed chunk. And again, a good dictionary will have that information. Number five, study word parts. Those are the Latin and Greek roots, prefixes, and suffixes. Lots of websites on that. That can help you guess a lot of new words. And finally, there's a lot of websites for vocabulary practice, and you can just do a few minutes every day, and that will really help you. You can just do a search on the internet, or again, check my blog, ESL on the Hill. The address is on the bottom of your screen. You can't click links on this software, but later you can look up that link, or it'll be linked from the homepage where you found the link to this presentation. Once you've found and researched new words, you have to learn them. And sorry, but there's no easy shortcut here. At some point, you just have to memorize new vocabulary. But there are some ways to make the process more efficient. First, make sure that you're keeping a vocabulary journal or notebook, or even a vocabulary log on a computer. You can do it in Word or as a blog or as a website. The research always points to this as a very, very good strategy. When you write a word in your journal, include lots of information about the word. Its meaning, possibly a translation, that can be useful, part of speech, grammar, pronunciation perhaps, meaning we mentioned, the register, is it used in formal writing, informal writing, an example sentence, even where you found the word. And most importantly, don't forget to review your notebook. You've got to go back and read what's there. The more times you see a word, the more likely you are to remember it. And of course, you can add new information as you learn more about each word. Number two, make connections between new words and old words. In other words, try to link new words to words you already know. Synonyms, similar words, opposite words. That's a good way for the brain to make connections. I also really would recommend that you use the words that you learn, either in speaking or writing. And again, the more times you see or use a word, the more likely you are to remember it. When you're learning new words, don't learn groups of very similar words. For example, don't try to learn 20 colours or 10 types of fish. The research is very interesting. It says that the brain can't deal with too many new words that are closely related. Learning words for a topic rather than a category is much more effective. The fifth strategy is to use your learning preferences. Some people are very oral. Yeah, you learn things by hearing them. In that case, record new vocabulary on an MP3 player or a cassette or the computer and listen back to them. If you're a visual person, use drawing, draw pictures or maps or charts to connect words. This really does work for some people. And finally, make a habit of asking questions about new words. Ask your friends and teachers how a particular word is used, or ask for an example sentence. And if you're a UNC student or scholar, you can always post your questions on the blog, or come to a workshop and ask me in person. I'll be happy to try to help you. Well, that's all for this presentation. Thank you for watching this English Language and American Culture online presentation. I would ask you now to take a quick survey to evaluate the session. The link is on your screen. You can't click it, but if you could go to that website, and there's a link there from the page where you found this presentation. Your feedback is very valuable to us, and we do appreciate it. For more information about other ELAC services, you can visit our homepage or the blog ESL on the Hill. This has been an ELAC online presentation, a service of the Writing Centre at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Nigel Kaplan, and I hope to see you again online or in person very soon. Bye-bye.